What was that noise that just came out of your face?
I think that's what the noise was. That's the noise I was going for.
I feel like if you're ever a droid in the Star Wars universe, that should be your noise.
So apparently Taika Waititi is going to be co-writing and directing one of the next Star Wars films. And so I was like, he's going to make it gay finally, right? Like, so maybe I could be a droid in his version of Star Wars.
I love him so much.
He's a gem.
I feel like we were just talking about how, like, really funny Olivia Colman is, even though a lot of people may not know that unless they, like, go for the deep cuts. I would love to see them on a project, Taika.
Oh, my God.
I feel like the chaos factor alone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm sure it would be insane. Somebody, because of my obsession with Our Flag Means Death, like, most of my social media is just, like, that or stuff of, like, Rhys Darby and Taika Waititi. And it's so funny, like, there's so many people who are like, oh, my God, is Rhys Darby hot? I'm like, he's been.
Yes.
He has been attractive this whole time. Like, what are you talking? Anyway. Also, I have tickets to see him on June 6th. He's doing a show in L.A. at the Largo. I'm very excited. Where was I going with this? Olivia Colman. Just the chaos. But there's this really lovely post from when he was trying his, like, Kickstarter for Boy. I think when he was trying to get it distributed in the United States. And somebody's like, this Kickstarter versus, like, him winning an Oscar for, I think it was Jojo Rabbit. But it's just, I don't know. It's been really cool to watch people, like, dig up really old stuff and to watch them all grow. And it's cute.
It's cute. I love it.
Do you think that
It would be
you and I are going to hear, like, audio when, like, we get to a place where people care about what we're doing right now?
Yeah. I do. And then we'll look back and be like, oh, remember when you were in your linen closet and I, like, had a mic covered in towels so that way you couldn't hear the construction next door to my apartment? Oh, but yeah, I do. Because I like, it's even
Hey, Lex,
like,
I got a joke for you.
What's the joke?
How do English teachers get married?
I don't know.
They exchange vowels. Welcome to this podcast.
Welcome to the P&E, everybody. Hi, I'm Lex, and that's Julia. And it is 9:58 a.m. on a Friday. This is not when we usually record. We usually record in, like, an afternoon.
I feel
after
like
a lot of sleep.
I need a little bit of chaos in my life. And so I've been thinking about how obsessed I got about, like, reading all of, like, the forums and watching video and, like, really learning about, like, this is what it takes to podcast. And now I'm like, honestly, like, fuck it. Like, sorry, but you're probably not going to get an episode every week or every 2 weeks because sometimes you got to just meet up at 9 a.m. on a Friday morning in a closet. And just vibe.
Yeah. It's also, so I know, like, last week we, God, she chokes to death.
Ooh, we got deep. She's choking up. She's choking up. Single tear rolling down her cheek.
Choking on my coffee. just a tear. It's because I can't
go out doing what you love.
Drinking coffee, podcasting, baby. but, like, last week we, like, you know, you put me in the Oprah hot seat.
Oh no.
But I mean, I don't have to put you in the hot seat, but I do want to say, like, you've been super busy. Like, we, you know, life has been chaos. You've been super busy being on student film sets, like, doing all kinds of shit. So that's also part of, like, why we released an episode called We're Back and then disappeared for 4 weeks.
We should just keep releasing an episode randomly whenever we get to it, and it should just be like, we're back, part 346. Like, just keep it going. We're back.
And
we're
then gone one again, episode. One episode will just be us recapping the stoned recapping the entire plot of the film We're Back, the dinosaur animated film. Is it We're Back or They're Back?
I've never seen that. Oh, I've never seen it.
I have to confirm.
Listen, if we're going to narrate dinosaur movies, we got to watch The Land Before Time, the first one. The one that really taught us trauma as a child. You know what I mean? Like, you remember watching that movie and the parents die, and it's like, wow, okay, we're starting off on that foot. And then it was like fun and adventurous, and you know we're gonna live and be fine. But it's like, really?
Yeah.
You just straight up orphan them at the beginning.
That movie, I watched that movie religiously as a child growing up, mm-hmm. and you know, mm-hmm. probably not for the best. Mm-hmm. I watched it all the time. I still remember the commercials because I can't remember if we recorded it off of the television or if it was just back in my day. So in the 90s, if you used I feel like most of our listeners are like, yeah, we know what a VHS is. Anyway, if you don't, whatever. The internet's your friend. But I think a lot of VHS tapes had commercials in front of them. And I remember there was a Domino's commercial a Pizza Hut commercial. And it was when the Pizza Hut mascot was the slice of pizza with olives for eyes and a little mouth.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm terrified.
It was a weird time in 94.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Pizza Hut. But I remember the commercials that were before The Land Before Time because I watched it so much.
Oh, so it was even more of a whiplash moment because you were just hey, I could really go for some pizza. Aw, murder.
Mom, can we order pizza? And then it's, a baby dinosaur.
Good for you having
parents.
A mom. Yeah.
Unlike our protagonist. He has a mom at the beginning.
This episode brought to you by death.
Dead Parents Club, baby.
I'm okay. I'm okay. We're okay. We're, you know what? We're, blink twice if you need saving.
It was the sound of me blinking twice.
I thought for a second there you were not going to open your eyes at all. You were just going to be like, okay. You know what? Maybe I'll just take a nap. Maybe. It's a Friday, but it's a dark Friday. You know what? Listen, if you believe in a lot of the spirituality of the universe and all that, Mercury was in retrograde and we had a super moon lunar eclipse. So mm-hmm. We're coming out of a really tough time energetically.
I feel like a lot of people I know are just like, I'm
tired.
I can't. I'm tired. Yeah. I'm so tired. Yeah. I feel like everybody I know is really tired and very little motivation to do anything. Just let me tweet into the abyss, man. It's fine. Just going down.
I need
dumb
to
jokes.
Visit your Twitter. I need to visit your Twitter it's because I is stupid. It chaos right now?
Yeah, probably.
If you ever did write out a sign for help or ask for help, I feel like it would be in your Twitter. It would be something like, oh yeah, say something that's totally not in alignment with what you believe, and I'd be like, oh okay, we've reached critical mass.
No, that would definitely be a cry for help or a sign that I've been hacked. Yeah, probably just tweet my way through the end times. Why not, you know?
That's fair.
on that note, so we, we've both been super busy, especially you with stuff. And so
Hold on, life, sorry. Man. Something made noise and I went to go stop it from making noise. And then I have all these windows open with all these tabs and I couldn't find you, but I found you and you're back. I'm sorry. I'm right here.
I'm here.
You're
fine.
You're here.
I hate when that happens and like a random tab is just like, hey. What?
Mike Wazowski.
Hey. I mean, really, isn't the goal just to be Billy Crystal at some point in your life, you know?
Joe Pesci for me.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Just short men, short kings, you know?
Oh, I love a short king. Yeah. I have to just veer left for a second. I know.
Great.
Don't worry. We'll put me in the hot seat. We can. It's not a problem.
Okay.
But I just want to shout out real quick our friends at What a Movie Pod.
Yeah.
The What a Movie crew. They watch films, nostalgic films, and then kind of recap and tell you whether it still holds up from the time of our youth. Simpler times where dinosaurs were being orphaned. But they recently did an episode on Spice World and they found it streaming. And so now after my quest for years of trying to find Spice World in a viewable form, I get to see it. I get to watch it and I get to see if it holds up. And also I knew every single line of that movie. Like one summer was in this like house in the woods with my grandma with no other kids or anyone around. And I had this like tiny little TV VCR set. If you know, it was like a little pink one.
Oh yeah.
And the only movie I had was Spice World. Oh. There you go. I know exactly which one you're talking about. So all I had was Spice World. I would watch it from start to finish in my like Spice Girls oversized t-shirt with my like that I got at like a flea market. And like, you remember the Spice Girls had the lollipops?
Oh, do I? Yes.
They were. Listen, we brought back Dunkaroos.
And they came with stickers, I think.
Please. Yes, they did. Can we please bring back the Spice? And they had two kinds. And there was one that I feel like had like Pop Rocks. Not that one. Mm-hmm. The other one. The one that was just like a straight up delicious, berry lollipop. Yes. Yep. Fuck with that.
It's pretty good.
And I would just like watch it straight through. And every time I would watch it, which was on a loop very frequently, I would play a different role. And so I would talk the lines and I would like act it out in parallel with it being acted out on the screen. And when I got to the end, I would rewind and start at the beginning and play a different character and do all of their lines. So I knew all of their lines. So I'm wondering now, like 20 years, more than 20 years later, how like will I turn it on and how many of the lines will I know? And like,
yeah, is it still just embedded deep in your brain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also it's like, maybe this is why I didn't actually retain any of the dates in any history class ever, is because so much of my storage space in my brain is being taken up by the entire script of Spice World.
I would love if you also like
character dossiers.
You know, like interior bus, like, you know, all of those beats. That would be amazing. If you just closed your eyes and started typing, you could write out the script word for word.
Amazing. I might. I'm going to watch it once and see if I can do that. But that's one of my favorite pastimes, is to watch something, especially something funny, and then try to find the script. It's hard because they're not always like there.
Yeah.
And see how much of the script is improvised versus how much is written in. Because there are some moments that I'm just like, that couldn't have been in the script. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as an actor, do you ever feel like there is just like a very, very undiscernible amount for most people of like genuineness that no matter what, you'll never reach 100% when you're going off of like something written by someone, even if it's you.
Yes. 100%. Cause it,
thanks for understanding what I was trying to say.
Yeah. No,
I
totally do
myself well.
So, okay. I'm sorry. This is an Our Flag Means Death podcast.
Welcome to Inside the Actor's Studio.
I think this is a great example because I think a lot of people are watching it right now. But the scene, I think it's in episode 7 where they're like on the island and they're talking about Blackbeard's Bar and Grill and like that whole moment.
Yeah.
Was entirely improvised. And I think like Reese and Taika have wonderful chemistry anyway. They've been working together since like their 20s, I think, maybe younger. And so they have a very long friendship. They like get each other. Mm-hmm. That scene is mostly improvised. And I think you can tell just how quickly they go back and forth and how focused they are. And so a lot of people who maybe aren't actors who are watching it, and because David Jenkins keeps going like, oh yeah, this line was improvised, this thing was improvised, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And people keep freaking out and losing their minds. Like the toe touch after the Never Left where Blackbeard touches his toe, that was improvised. And people are like fucking losing it. I'm like, right. But like when you know the characters well enough, mm-hmm. When you know the other person well enough and you mm-hmm. know like, oh, I can do this thing. Cause like, you know, Taika touches his toe and then you yeah. see like Reese reciprocate a little bit. Like,
yeah,
that comes from having a really solid working relationship and friendship. And so you have yeah. these like very natural moments. But yeah, it, like the other thing too is, and this is why I think improvisers make some of the best actors, is because improv requires you to listen all the time. You have to take in everything. And like, that's what acting is too. But it's so easy as an actor to be like, I know my lines, meh. And then sometimes you'll see, I don't think you see it too much in film, but like live theater, you'll see it a lot. Like someone will deliver a line and then the other person will respond to the line, but the tone doesn't make sense. Like it doesn't match. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no. Like that person, maybe the line was something like, you're welcome. But the way that they like said the line was very clearly, I love you. Like,
yeah,
whatever your response is, you need to respond in kind. So there's just a lot more listening that happens when you're improvising because you're picking up on, I think, more subtle clues. Whereas when you like have a script, you shouldn't. Like, you should also be listening for all of that. But it's easier to just like autopilot.
Is psychological warfare?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. No, I mean, isn't that what the best acting is?
How can I fucking ruin this person? Well, yeah, that's part of the fun, yeah. right? Is like my acting teachers always talk about, like, when you're in a scene with somebody, like, you are competing, right? Like, you're, especially in media, maybe not so much like this conversation that you and I are having because it's off the rails and organic. And we're friends.
I've been keeping score.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fuck. Yeah. Well, I think I'm losing.
I got to catch up on a lot of points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Phew. Miles ahead of me.
It's the coffee. It's kicking in.
The rubric is just like completely nonsensical, like hieroglyphic-esque. Like no one really knows how it works.
I love that.
There you go.
But it in scenes in media, often people are competing, right? Like,
yeah,
the stakes are high. You're trying to, whatever you want to call it. Like, what's your motivation? What are you trying to get from the other person? Blah, 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 whatever. But it's always like, why are we seeing this moment? Like, why this moment out of any other moments in the story are we seeing this particular scene? Mm-hmm. And so, like, my acting teachers are always like, compete, like, fight for something. I'm not saying, like, decimate them and be a dick. Like, that's not what I'm saying, but fight for it. There needs to be a little bit of urgency. And you get that just by listening to the other person mm-hmm. and, like, taking in what they're saying. But, yeah, so all of that is to say that, like, scenes that are improvised and that are off the cuff or those moments are – there's just something about it that becomes a little bit more alive. And I think it's because, like, you don't know what the other person is going to say or do. And so, like, if you're improvising, let's say you're in a play and you flub your line or whatever, and now you have to improvise to get it back on track, it just becomes a lot more alive because it's real. Mm-hmm. And you're actually – both people are going, oh, fuck. So there's just I don't know, it's like you just kind of wake up a little bit. But
I also get the impression in terms of like competing, I kind of get the impression that like their friendship, back to Tyka and Reese, their like friendship is kind of like, I'm going to do whatever, I'm going to say whatever comes to mind that I think will make this person break or crack or laugh. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they just like consistently try to make each other laugh. But since they've been doing it for so long, again, this is the, I don't know them. I wish I did, yeah. But like, this is the impression I get of like, after so many years of doing that, like their threshold for like breaking is probably so high, especially with each other. Maybe not, but that's like my new goal in life is to just like everyone I interact with, like I just want to try to get them to laugh. And like, if I have to make an idiot out of myself for that, for like, you know, commit to the bit. Yeah. If I must, I must. So that's my new purpose, my renewed purpose in life. You know, it's not the money, it's not the cars. It is still to be famous enough to get on Hot Ones, but alongside it is like, I just want to bring laughter to everyone I meet. So it's like those two live in the same priority level.
Yeah. That, I think that's a good, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty good goal to move through life with, of just how do I make the situation life?
Breathe without.
There you go.
You.
There you go, Faith.
I want to know.
Yeah. There, there's a, and I can send it to you if you're interested. I can't remember if I sent it to you. Somebody, again, fans are digging through and finding like really old stuff. There is a sketch show that Reese and Tycho are on. And I don't really have the context of like, was their section just a sketch that was part of a larger show? Because somebody spliced it together where it's all of the scenes from this segment. That's just like their thing together. Yeah. But in it, I would say they're probably like, mid to late 20s. Like, and the whole premise is that they are space pirates from New Zealand, and they are on a mission to find another planet for New Zealand because of global warming. New Zealand is sinking underwater, and either the island New Zealand needs to find another planet to live on, or they have to do the worst thing in the world, which is move to Australia. And they're like, well, we're not doing that. So they would rather like find another planet. And it's very goofy. And Reese's character is the only one who's like actually like a trained astronaut and a space cadet, and everybody else is like Tyka's character, like his mom works in the government, so that's how he got like put on as the captain of the ship. And Reese is like, I'm the only one who knows how to fly this thing. Like, it's very silly. And it's there's a lot of poop jokes in it, I will say. I was like, the humor is like very like fourth grade boy. But it's funny because the first like, I would say each little like vignette is maybe like 2 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And in the first like three or four, you can actually see how in his head Tyka is and how comfortable Reese is. Cause like Reese has done stand up for years. Like that's what, you know, he was initially known for. So you can see it's very fun to watch him be so comfortable and to watch Tyka like kind of judge himself a little bit. And then as it progresses, you see how much more comfortable he gets. It's fast, like just from like an acting standpoint, it's fascinating. I can't remember the name, but Julie, I'll send it to you, and I'll maybe link it in the show notes. I love acting so much. I know. I just love watching people grow. Like, it's really, really fun. It's a pretty stupid sketch, but that's the dream. 24 minutes or something. Yeah,
that's my dream.
It's also cool to like just watch people you love, like watch their early stuff and go, oh shit, like they actors, they're just like us, you know, like watch them grow.
Yeah.
Is really, really cool.
Yeah. Cause nothing really happens in a vacuum. Like we've said it. So many other people have said it, and it, you know, overnight success is a 10-year process.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. We.
I know.
So exciting.
But I feel like it has to be. It has to be when you really think about it. Like, you really think about it. If you think of the people that, like, win the lottery or, like, child actors. Like, when you go from being a normal person who just, like, is doing something for fun to, like, all of a sudden you have all this money and all this fame, like, that's got to be really jarring. And I feel like you got to just keep at it because you got to have, like, the little bit of growth, and then you stumble backward or you stumble sideways, and then maybe a little bit of growth and it's painful, and then, like, you just have to have these kind of, like, evolutions of self. Otherwise, you're gonna fucking go nuts.
Yeah, well, and it can, like, this is not a super extreme version, but, like, it's something that I think about the story all the time. So one of my friends, or this involves two of my friends, but one of them is the person who this happened to, and the other person was the best friend who was like, what are you doing? So friend A, after college, started booking all of these commercial gigs. And I'm talking like Call of Duty, like big, big commercials that were national. And I think he had a commercial that aired during Super Bowl, which is like a fucking actor's dream. Like, if you land a commercial that airs during Super Bowl, you're set for like a while.
Financially, you mean?
Yes, financially, because the airtime, the it's very likely that those commercials will continue to play throughout the year. Those commercials are generally on your major networks like ABC, CBS. Like, you're getting a lot of airtime. And if I remember correctly, he had one that like aired during Super Bowl, and then he had another commercial that was smaller, but like, I think it was like DSW or something, but like another big company. And he made a fuck ton of money, like very, very quickly. And this was shortly after college. And he was like, fuck yeah, like, I'm going to have a good time. And like, I'm going to go on all these vacations. And his best friend was like,
ball out.
Yeah. His best friend was like, sure, like, go on a vacation, but like, put money away and keep going. Like, keep auditioning, keep acting. Like, what are you doing? And friend A was like, nah, like, I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to whatever. Like, he, and it kind of like, it's one of those things where it's like, I get the thinking of like, I worked really hard. I'm making a lot of money right now. Like, I'm good. Like, let me just like have a nice time. But as an actor, like, that momentum, you have to ride the lightning. Like, you got to keep going if you can, because then what wound up happening, unfortunately, is that he blew through a lot of money and then was not getting booked. And so he, and that's what like his best friend was trying to tell him of like, you don't know how long this is going to last. Like, you might right now be, and unfortunately, like, this is something that happens with acting, is like, certain types are very in at certain points. And at that time, like, his type was very in. And so he was getting cast a lot.
Yeah.
And then he took some time off. And then when he came back to it, because he was like, oh shit, my money's drying out, he was not getting cast because he wasn't like the it boy anymore. So it's this like, it's a very...
Well, I feel like that tension is what keeps a lot of people going, because I've seen a lot of incredible actors who have had these like crazy long, beautiful, flourishing careers, like Jane Fonda. I've heard her say it, and I've heard so many other people say it, of like the fear. Scarlett Johansson has said it, and like, you think of these women, incredible careers, and they've said like the fear that when you like finish a project, that fear of like, oh, I'm never gonna work again, like that exist, like that does not go away. And these are people that have had decades of incredible like culture forming work. And they're still like nervous about like,
Zendaya talked about that, of like how this was kind of recent. I think it was right after the latest Spider-Man film, but she was like, yeah, I just, because people were like, you are like, you have projects for the next couple of years. Like,
yeah,
what? And she was like, yeah, because like, I don't know if I'm, she was like, yes, I have all of this money and I'm making all of this money. But
yeah,
there's still that fear of like, what if it goes away? What if it stops? Like, what yeah. if it, I never book another thing and then suddenly I'm broke and like on the streets. And she's like, it's not a healthy mindset, but yeah. it's hard not to have that. And like, it's wild to me to think that, you know, because I've been in that situation. Like, I know that feeling very yeah. well personally. So it is wild to hear like A-list celebrities who are like world renowned mm-hmm. saying that, who are just like, yeah. what if the money dries up? And you're like, what
that's
the fuck?
Why they're all dropping beauty lines. They need some of that like somewhat yeah. passive continuous income.
Yeah, or think. Like in or investing in it. That's one of the things yeah. that like, I mean, was it, I think Beyonce early on in Uber's existence, mm-hmm. they hired Beyonce to perform at like a corporate event or something. And part of her payment was stocks
smart
in the company.
Smart.
And God knows how much money she wound up making off of them from that. But like,
yeah,
she's always investing in something.
Didn't Kanye like buy Kim like a ridiculous amount of like bonds or something, like hundreds Maybe? Of millions of dollars of bonds or something? And everyone was like, that's really weird that he got you that like for your birthday yeah. or whatever. And she was just like, you guys don't get it. Like, I'm set for life now. And it's just yeah. like those things aren't sexy. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
fucking a Roth IRA isn't sexy, right? It's not as sexy as like popping bottles in VIP.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like you either end up with security or a hangover. And I feel like, but I feel like some of that maybe comes with like either age or trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, balance. That's the right answer.
Age or trauma answer. Why not both?
Well, because I say age because there's like a chronological age, right? Mm-hmm. And that's if you like develop according to how like most of the psychologists at this point have said you are meant to develop, or how they've observed, or like you and I, we experience some sort of trauma or loss or grief or disruption in our security. We're in survival mode. Something happens and we're just forced to grow up faster mentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now that we're in our 30s, we're like, oh, you know what? Let me go try childhood again. Now yeah. that I can be the adult yeah. that I hopefully needed. So yeah. that's why I say, you know, age is very much made up.
It's all fake. It's all an illusion.
I mean, think about it. Okay, you want to get existential? Let's yeah. get existential. Every single thing in our world, whether it's something mm-hmm. tangible, like this microphone, or something that's an idea, like
mm-hmm.
time. Yes, you can say there are things that like mark time, right? Day, night, seasons, whatever. But we had to attribute that meaning to the things we observed in order for mm-hmm. us to now have it as a standard that we all use, like as a species.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like
the only kink in that argument are circadian rhythms, which is like an actual like measure of time.
Yeah. Well, and it's based off of sunrise, sunset, and our little 9-to-5s go, fuck that. It's stupid.
Yeah. So everything yeah, well, we've like, invented is beautiful and terrifying. But it's all yeah, but well, it's that's... all fake. It's all like our creation. And so it's like, who's to say that you can't keep doing that for yourself?
Well, yeah. And like that's why there was a post on I've like joined Actors Reddit.
Yes.
And there was a post where someone, she was like, I think she was like 24. I was like, you're a baby. You're a baby. Yeah. And she just graduated from college and she always wanted to be an actor. And she's like, can't remember what, like she graduated from college and then she was doing some other career for a couple of years. And mm-hmm. thank God she kind of like caught it earlier in her life and was like, I don't know what to do. I've always wanted to pursue this other thing. But, you know, am I too old for it? And every single person, even people who are like, I'm 18 and I can tell you right now, you're not too old for it. Like, and then people in their 60s were like, I got into acting in my 40s. Like it, yes. everybody. Yeah. But it was that like that idea of redefining your reality for yourself, because like, what the fuck is the point, right? Like, what is the point of trying to conform to like other expectations that don't sit well within you, because then it just makes you really resentful and really bitter.
It's very hard and very terrifying to take agency of your own life, because truly no matter what you hope for, there's no real guarantee that you're gonna get what you hope for. And that's not just people in the arts, that's everything and everyone in life.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of courage to take agency over your own life and create it in the way that you want it to look, and figure, and also like stumble and fall and figure out what you want it to look like and what you don't want it to look like on the way to then living in your genuine self. But the alternative of that is to live under someone else's agency, follow the rules that someone else has set for you. And that there's resentment there. There's like a lack of freedom there. And so it's like, I think it goes back to what you were saying of balance. But I say, no, choose chaos. Go full agency. If you want to dress like a snail, you dress like a fucking snail. What's Bob in accounting going to say? Fuck off, Bob, with your tie that is definitely way too short and your button that's missing right near your belly button. Everyone sees it. The tie, it literally stops right there. It points right to it. You're not fooling anyone, Bob.
Who is Bob really, Julia? I want to know.
Who isn't Bob?
That listen, was so friends, specific. I was like,
friends
who is
who person? Have worked in corporate. We all know Bob. We all know Bob.
Yeah.
We all know Bob. And we all feel a little bit of pity for Bob, but not enough to be his friend.
Not enough. Yeah. No. Fuck on out of here. Pity for him? Not on my watch.
Well, no, you kind of, not maybe not pity, but just a little bit like, oh, Bob, like, maybe, you know, I'll get you a longer tie for the, you know, white elephant office Christmas this year or whatever. You kind of look at him like, ah, man, maybe someone just needs to throw the guy a bone. And then he opens his mouth to speak and you're like, fuck this guy. This guy's a douchebag. He deserves everything he gets. And everyone that's ever worked in a corporation knows exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there.
There's a lot of them. There's a positive correlation. There have been studies done in my own head and my imagination of positive correlation between when a company goes public and the exponential increase of Bobs with it, like on the payroll. There's just like a link there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, because they need to get professional and they need to
take themselves more seriously. And if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know what she's talking about, because there ain't nobody like that at work, honey, baby, sweetie, darling,
it's you. The call is coming from inside the house.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Did someone order a missing button?
Got a new tie for you.
Okay, listen, here's my question. I know do you enjoy that I have spent this entire episode evading the
derailing
hot seat?
It you have don't think I haven't noticed. I'll get you one day. I know how nerve-wracking like interviews make you, like you get so I just remember when we did the MUAC and you were like, I'm sweating. Like, oh,
yeah,
no.
I think I suck at self-promotion is what I'm realizing. Like, I love to show up and have fun and I love to like boss people around, but I don't like to be the person that is actually like the middleman between those two things. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? I'm so sorry. I'm laughing so hard. I just realized you changed your name to Jingle Jangle Jules.
It's been that this whole time. We've been on for an hour almost.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, you're welcome.
I'm so sorry.
That's how I'm coming into this conversation. Jingle jangle. Ding, 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 ding. No, here's my question. Because as you know, while I've been a theatrical person my whole life, I've only recently gotten into like actually acting on the screen, which I kind of fell into. And now I'm like, oh no, it's true what they say. It is addicting.
It's a rush.
It is. Oh, the performance. Yeah. It also like brought me back to, because I was a dancer for many years. And there's just something about when you're on, whether it's like you're on the stage or you're like at rehearsal, something between like action and cut, like that, there is just, when you're dancing, there's so, when I'm dancing, there's just like, I black out. You know, you ever, are you ever like so present in the moment and so out of your own head that you like kind of snap to it and you're like, oh shit, what just happened? Where did, like I blacked out because you're so fucking present. And so I experienced that when I used to dance. And then recently I was like so nervous. I was like, I'm not an actor. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to show up and like wing it, I guess. And you gave me some really great advice on like, just like how to prepare and all that. But it's that same feeling like between action and cut, like between cut and action. So between recording, I was jingle jangling all over the place, like a hot mess, like just making jokes and being loud and like being like, cause I was nervous. So when I'm nervous, I like try to get other people to laugh and not think I'm like weird and nervous and sweaty. So I was doing that. But like in between action and cut, like when we were actually shooting, I was just like, this is really fun. Like I was so present and it was really, really cool. So, you know, acting. Ah. What is no, because you're like, you're leaving behind corporate world. You're going to jump into doing this full time, which is something that you wanted to do for a while. You're going to start auditioning again, doing all that stuff. I now have been bit by the bug. So I'm trying to figure out what the fuck to do with this. And I like, I don't know. Yeah. Am I going to fight it? Am I going to lean in? I don't know yet. But just like, have you had any sort of realization or have you had anything that you maybe learned, and not in the whole scope of your career or your life as an actor, but just in this moment right now, what is something that stands out to you in terms of like acting? Like what is something maybe you learned recently, or I'm not articulating myself well, but like if you could capture this moment in time and make a statement about like being an actor, what would it be? There we go. I got there. I jangle jangled my way over.
I think something that always stands out to me a lot is that, and that I fight really hard to remind myself. And we talked about this when, like, especially when Brianna was on the show, about like, as an actor, I always felt like I wasn't enough, like as a more as a person, right? Like, because especially as a kid, I was cast as like an adult or whatever because I was taller and I'm a bigger person.
Yeah,
a parrot. You know, like it feels so easy to get kind of constricted into certain roles based off of your appearance or whatever. But I was thinking about, there was in college we had, there was a class I was taking, can't remember. It was basically like the art of business for actors. That is not the name of the class.
What?
I can't remember it.
It was like of business,
not the art of business, but it was like basically like business for actors, like hey, you're going into a business because our whole fucking and it was not a mandatory class, which was so wild to me, but because like so much of being an actor is like feel your spine, whatever, like theater school is very
in your feelings,
your body, not even in your feelings, sometimes just roll your spine one vertebrae at a time. If I had a dollar for every time I had to do that, I would have no student loans. Like it would be amazing. But this class that I would take, they would bring in like working actors and like entertainment accountants and entertainment lawyers and kind of go through stuff. And we had this one session where I had asked a question of like, do you ever feel pressure as an actor to change who you are as a person? Like, because I think you hear this a lot, especially in Hollywood, especially I think it happens more in like music. Where like your persona of who you are needs to change if you want to make it, right? Yeah. And the person I asked, she was like, no, like whatever you do, like figure out who you are as a person and lean heavily into that, because when you know who you are, like that's what makes the role different, right? It's not about like, can you, yes, sometimes it's like, oh, can you pretend to be Margaret Thatcher or whatever, right? Like that's one thing. And she's like, but the thing that makes a performance different is just the actor, is just a different person with a different perspective. And she's like, when you know who you are and like you are confident in who you are, and again, this is a little asterisk, like confidence to me is something that you know that like you have flaws and you know that you're not perfect and you know that you don't know everything about yourself and you're still working towards like learning who you are. So anyway, but like when you're comfortable with yourself and you bring that into a room, one, people go, oh shit, like they just notice you because you're settled. But it just makes it easier for you to not take things so personally and to not take things so seriously and to have fun with it. So yeah, like knowing, I don't know, that's, I always think about that conversation because again, like as a kid and through my teens and my 20s and then even in college, I, you know, I had people say some sideways comments. So it always felt like people were telling me like, if you want to be an actor, you need to change who you are. And to have somebody who is a working actor who's been in like fairly large films be like, absolutely not. Like, know who you are, stick to your guns, be yourself. Like, do not change who you are as a person to try to fit into this industry, because people will see through that. It will wear you down, and like it, knowing who you are is what's going to be the thing that helps get you roles. And it's also the thing that allows you to bring a different perspective and a different different shades to a role. So yeah, that's I think something I always like think about a lot as an actor, and is really important.
So find out who you are and then be that person like real hard.
Just like be another acting teacher, Brad, said this once, and I, again, it's a thing I echo. He's like, he, because I really struggle, or I did previously, I'm sure I still kind of do, but like him and Ryan and Dash would always be like, stop being so nice. Just be mean, and not even be mean, or like not be mean, but like stop being so nice and polite. Just take up space. Like,
yeah,
I can't tell you how many times. And it finally started to click. But Brad once said, like, Lex, you always want people to succeed so badly. Like, you are such a giving scene partner. You listen so much. You like give them the space to really flourish. I need you to take up space too and be as unapologetically badass on stage as you are in real life, because you deserve to be here just as much as everybody else in this room. So do that. Like, lean into it. Don't back away from that. Like, know your power, know your worth, and take up space. And it's,
what's your dream that theater was, role?
Iago in Othello. I would love to play Iago. Okay. I want to be a villain so badly.
Not restricted to Shakespeare. Just any stage production, still Iago.
I think Iago, and then a second rate under that would be there's a play, The Last Days of Judas Iscariot by Stephen Adly Gyrgyz. Satan in that is so
nice.
Cool. I would love to play Satan. Everybody I know is like, I want to play Satan in that one play. Like, It's one of those like dream roles for a lot of people. Those are the two. But both of those roles require you to be unapologetically kind of a dick, but yeah. also to like, you have to take up space and you have yeah. to be comfortable being like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Get out of my, everybody get out of my way. But it's not about like being an asshole. It's just about like not backing down and yeah. like just knowing that you are enough, that you're worthy of being in that space. And to have fun with it. And like, but again, to do all of those other things, you have to know who you are. You have to be grounded in that. It's that thing that Janae talked about too, of like, you have to be genuine. You have to be mm-hmm. honest. You have to be open and you have to be genuine because people will see when you're not and they yeah. don't want that. They're not interested in that.
Yeah. Janae of yeah. C'est Quoi Entertainment, who we love very much.
Yes.
I'm just yes. trying to look up what episode we had. The episode came out November 22nd, 2021, and it's titled Getting Jiggy with Janae Thompson of C'est Quoi Entertainment. Yeah. So if you want to check Smith that out, it was great. Her. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So that's it. That's my little
This is an speech. Acting podcast now. This is what we're talking about. We will only exclusively talk to other actors or, you know, if you want to hire
each other.
Yeah. 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 We'll talk to each other, talk to each other. And you'll see me. My character arc is very much like, do I continue to fight against the fun? Or no. do I lean into it and just
follow the fun,
fall into the debauchery? We'll see. We'll see. Knowing my personality, it's going to be an uphill battle because I don't do anything easily. And then also just tracing your path to success as you become yeah. Satan in that one play.
Or in real life. Yeah. Why not?
Thanks for listening, yeah. everyone.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll see you when we see you. We're back. Yeah. Part two.
Part We're three. Back. Or are we? Ba ba ba.
I'm going to just jingle jangle out of frame.
Jingle jangle, jingle jangle. Bye.
Oh, boy. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. We love you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, shit.